Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 23. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world of life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know too much about building structures or houses, but one thing I do know about them is they need a good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, even if you build a structure, a house that looks beautiful on the outside and the inside, if you don't have a good foundation, it won't be there for too long. Eventually, the foundation will erode away, and you'll be left with a building that's kind of tilted to the side or maybe even fallen over because the foundation wasn't secure enough. Jesus uses this illustration actually in one of his parables. He talks about a builder who built a house on the rock, being a sure foundation. Another builder built on sand, and the wind and the waves came and eroded things away, and only the builder that had built on the rock still had the house that remained. A few years ago, back in Michigan, this parable played out in real life. You see, there's this thing that people like to do, and they like to build as close to a body of water as they can. So in Lake Michigan, around Lake Michigan, a lot of people like building houses or vacation homes as close to the lake as they can get. And that works for a period of time, especially when the water levels are relatively low, so the beach is kind of big at some points. And if you have a long period of time where that happens, well, you kind of just think that, well, the water tends to be about at this length, so if I want a house on it and I don't want someone to build a house closer to it, well, I got to get close to the water as I can. That works until you have a season, a year, like a few years ago in Michigan, where water levels were high as they have been in 30 or 40 or 50 years. And those people who built close to the lake found out that, well, the water came up and started eroding the sand under their houses. And there was even a few stories of houses that fell in to the lake because the foundation wasn't secure. Paul uses this illustration to talk about what we build our faith on. Sometimes in Christianity, it can be easy to build our faith on things that aren't a sure foundation. We don't really see that until that foundation starts to become shaky. As Melissa shared in her children's message this morning, probably one of the better illustrations for this thing is that story of the three little pigs and building their houses of wood, of straw, and of brick. And the brick one is the only one that stands in the end of that story because it's the only one that was strong enough to withhold what was going against it. And as Christians, sometimes we see a motivational pastor or speaker, and we tend to study their work and to really dig deep into what they have to say. And sometimes those pastors, they go astray and fall into sin and are deposed from their pastorates and congregations who follow them, even if they have huge congregations. After something like that happens, a lot of those people reevaluate their faith, and they have a faith crisis because they looked so up to this one person for all of the truth that they had, that when that one person failed, well, then they had to question everything about what they were taught by this person, because their faith wasn't really in Jesus, it was more in what this speaker was saying. But we really don't know that until a situation happens that makes that foundation a bit shaky. So Paul wants to make sure that the Corinthian church is building on a sure foundation that's going to last. And he's heard there's some back and forth in the congregation. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that some were saying, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas or Peter, or I follow Jesus. And there were all these factions that were looking up to this one leader for their truth. And Jesus is like, well, that's not really what this is all about. Let's go back and kind of reevaluate what you're building that foundation on. So Paul first rebukes the Corinthians for living in the flesh. If you want to go back one more there, Bodie. He talks about them living in the flesh. And what he means by that, or the word translated in our Bibles, is probably worldly. They were worldly in their thinking, or thinking as the world did, that if you follow this leader and live like they would live, well, then you're good. This charismatic leader has to be teaching the right thing because they have this big following behind them. That's the worldly thinking of it, but Paul wants them to think not in the worldly way of, well, if this person has a big following, what they're preaching has to be right. He wants them to look deeper into it and see what that person is preaching, and does it line up with what Jesus said and what Jesus did, or is that person preaching a persuasive message so that more people will follow them? That's kind of the worldly thinking. That word sarx means fleshly living. They're still acting as if Christ hadn't changed their thinking. Paul's got this dichotomy in a lot of his messages and letters, that you either live the worldly way or the fleshly way or the spirit way. And once you're in Christ, you should be living in the Spirit. But Paul is saying that these Corinthians are living more like they did before Christ, as they were arguing about who was the greater teacher. And to kind of show the wrong thinking they had here on this, is that he reveals to them what Paul and Apollos actually was. And Bodhi, if you want to go to the next slide now. He talks about what Paul and Apollos actually were, and he uses this illustration of gardening. That Paul was the one to go and to plant the seeds, that Apollos went after him and watered them. And he uses an important word here for both himself and for Apollos, that they were servants, that they were just kind of hired hands, that they were doing the work that God had told them to. So Paul had the job of starting the season by planting the seeds. Apollos went after him, watering them. They each had a different job, just as important as the other. But they were just servants in this entire process. And this entire process of growing the seeds, the plants, was God's hand at work behind the scenes. That it may look like Paul is doing the work as he's planting. It may look like Apollos is doing the work after that by watering. But none of these plants, these seeds, would grow into plants and bear fruit if it wasn't for God's hand behind there. To show their position in it, he calls both of them servants. The word there, diakonos, where we get our word deacon from, or minister. It's translated a few different ways in Scripture: servant, deacon, or minister, but not the master. The master is God in this whole thing. So don't look at Paul to be your leader. Don't look at Apollos to be your leader. They're just servants of the master as he does his work of growing these plants and bearing the fruit in you. So after Paul makes sure they're kind of clear on that point again, he transitions into a different metaphor, this time the one of building your foundation. He says in verses 10 and 11 this: "By the grace God has given to me, I lay a foundation as a wise builder, as someone else is building on it. But each of you should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So what Paul is saying here is that the true foundation isn't Paul who planted the seeds. The true foundation isn't Apollos, the one that watered behind him. The true foundation is Christ Jesus that's already been laid, that you don't have to build any other foundation but Jesus. He uses this building metaphor, and he says that you all should take care about what you build on top of that foundation. If Jesus is the foundation, you should take care of what you build around there. Because what you build on the foundation of Christ will be tested one day. If you want to go to the next one, Bodhi. In verses 12 through 15, he uses this testing metaphor of fire, of judgment. He says this: "If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw," he's using kind of a dichotomy there, the first three: gold, silver, costly stones, kind of those things that are righteous and good, those things that will withstand fire or are even purified in fire, as opposed to the wood. The wood, hay, or straw, those things that'll burn up in the fire. He's also kind of perhaps referencing back to the temple that was built in the Old Testament. If you read Solomon's temple and the ways that they built those, They used the finest materials that they could source to build up the temple of God. And Paul is alluding back to that, saying, as you're building, the foundation is Christ. The rest of what you build around should be the righteousness or the good things that you build, that all these extra things that you try to add on to your faith, the wood, the straw, the hay, all of that stuff will just be revealed in the end at the judgment to be worthless, to be of no good. But he says on that day, it'll be brought to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will be rewarded. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even as the one escaping through the flames. So Paul makes an important point here that I don't want to skip over. It's that this judgment that he's talking about isn't that one will build up this righteousness on Christ's foundation only to be found false during judgment. But Paul says that one will survive that judgment if the foundation is Christ Jesus. Just all of the other things that we add on to him will be taken away at that judgment, will be revealed for what they are, which is useless. But we will still make it into heaven as long as our foundation is Christ Jesus. So that begs the question for us then, what are we building our lives with? If we build on that foundation of Christ, we got a good foundation, but the rest of the structure that we have, the rest of our life as Christians, well, what are we building that with? Are we still using the worldly thinking that the church in Corinth was thinking? Are we only looking to certain leaders to teach us rather than looking to Christ and the Holy Spirit to guide us in this life? Because potentially, depending on what those people we follow are preaching, could be things that will get burned up in the end and purified away from us so that only Christ Jesus is what we have in the end. He then goes on to say what we are building. Foundation is Christ. We're building our lives around him, but what are our lives as Christians? He says that what you're building is the temple of God. It kind of goes back to that illustration from the Old Testament that the temple of God was the dwelling place of God, and it was this holy, righteous place, this set apart for the purpose of God's dwelling with his people. Well, now Paul is saying that it's no longer a physical building that God resides in, but it's each one of your lives. So are you building a life that is worthy of God's dwelling place? Are you building a life that God would want to dwell in? That we are his temple. Paul kind of uses this in two different ways. He says we're each the temple of God because God dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. So make sure that your life is a life that God would want to dwell in and be a part of. But then also he widens up that metaphor to say that not only you yourself are the temple of God, but that we as the people of God are also the temple of God. That Christ is the foundation of both your life, but also the church. And you should order your life so that God might dwell in you. But then also the church, built on the foundation of Christ, being built up by the apostles and all the believers, should also be a place where God would want to dwell as well. And then to finally close out this discussion that Paul has, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, he says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by human standards or the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or present, or future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God." If the people in Corinth had any question about Paul, what Paul was saying, if they still wanted to follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas over and above the others, rather than building their foundation on Christ after all that Paul has written already, he then sums it up by saying, well, God's ways are not the world's ways. That if you think you're wise by human standard, God is there telling you that you are a fool. Because if you're in Christ, and Christ is in God, then just as God has given all things to his Son, Christ, if you're in Christ, God has also given you all things. What can Paul give you? What can Apollos give you? Or what can Cephas give you that you don't already have in Christ Jesus? He's basically saying, did Paul die for you? Or did Apollos die for you? Or did Cephas die for you? And did he give you all things when he rose on the third day? Well, no, because they're just human beings. So Paul sums all this up by saying, you have it all in Christ Jesus already. So just look to him. You don't have to just follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas or any other leader in the church, because Christ Jesus has already given all things, all good things to you through his life, death, and resurrection. That when he went and ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father, he now offers everything to you through his Holy Spirit. So build your foundation on him. Build up your life in a way that God's Spirit would desire to dwell in you together as a church. Let us build our foundation not on just one voice, but on Christ Jesus alone. May we build up so that we might be a temple for Jesus, for God to dwell in us. So build your life on Christ, walk by the Spirit, and become the temple that God desires to dwell in. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have given us Christ Jesus, that he is the only sure foundation in this life. And God, as you will, when you come again, as you reveal to us even now the shaky foundations that we stand on, the sticks, the hay, the straw that we try to build our lives on, may you reveal that to us now so that we might build our lives out of gold, out of precious stones, out of those things that you desire. May we look to your word to know how to live this life in a way that you would want, that you desire for us, so that you might dwell in us and as a people, that we might be your holy set apart church for your purpose here on earth, God. We thank you that you will save us if we build our foundation on you, that even though we might have some wrong thinking here and there or follow a leader in a way that we shouldn't, God, we also thank you that you are a God of mercy, that as you judge, as long as we hold on tightly to Christ, that we will make it through, and that we will be in your presence and dwell with you forever in all of eternity because of Christ Jesus and his sure foundation. We thank you for this, and we praise you and bless your holy name. Amen.